to Psalm 136 tonight. Psalm 136. And we already had one responsive reading, but I'd like for us to begin our look at Scripture tonight by actually reading this psalm responsively. So it's great if you've got your own Bibles, that's wonderful, keep them open. But go ahead and grab a pew Bible there in front of you as well, if you would, and turn to Psalm 136. The wording slightly different in some of your translations, but the wording of the pew Bible is very simple and straightforward, so we'll share that together. The end of each verse in this psalm has a repeated, almost like a refrain. If you think of these as songs, which they are written that way, His love endures forever. So we're going to read down through this psalm, and I'll read the first part of the verse, and then at the end of each verse, if you all can respond right from your seats, His love endures forever. It's very easy. You don't actually probably even need the Bible, but you can follow along if that helps you. But let's together rehearse God's word, and then we'll briefly consider it tonight. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night,
His love endures forever.
To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, His love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it. His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the desert, His love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, His love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, His love endures forever. An inheritance to His servant Israel, His love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, His love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, His love endures forever. Let's pray again, and I'll have a few comments on this psalm. Oh Lord, how much it is a purifying kindness that Your word would be able to come into our lives, that we have access to read it and hear it, and to be astonished that Your love is not temporary. Your love endures forever. Your love is seen in so many ways around us, both in our lives now and in the past, and even in the future. Oh Lord, help us to be surrounded and enveloped even by Your unfailing love, Your steadfast love, Your loyal, merciful kindness. Oh God, these things we ask that through Scripture tonight, we might have our hearts warmed. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. So if you look at the way this psalm begins, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. Verse 2, give thanks to the Lord. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord. And then verse 26, the last verse of the psalm, give thanks to the Lord. So this is obviously a psalm of thanksgiving. And this psalm has one central theme that we are giving thanks for. You could probably tell me what that is. We repeated it several times. We're giving thanks because God's love endures forever. Some of you are looking at translations that have maybe a slightly different wording. Some say his steadfast love endures forever. Others, his faithful love. The King James Version says his mercy endures forever. All of those translations are trying to surround and help us understand one particular Hebrew word. This is a word used in the Old Testament many times. It's the word hesed. Now, see, those of you that are off from school, you thought you're going to get a break from learning. No, you got to learn tonight, okay? So I say this word because it's a significant word that has a lot of dimensions, hesed. Normally, when you're saying that word in Hebrew, you have to kind of make a guttural sound, like you were trying to clear some phlegm off of your throat. Don't do that right here in the sanctuary. But this is that word, hesed, okay? And it has the idea of love, but it's often used in the context of God's love in his covenants with his people. So there's a dimension of loyalty here. And it's God's love in the face of people who at times despise his covenant. So there's a merciful component to this love. So many different ways of kind of surrounding and getting at the fullness of this particular term. And this is God's love. It lasts forever. Let me give you a few other places where this particular word is used. It's used over 200 times in the Old Testament. Let me give you a few samples of that. Numbers 14, 18 and 19. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in hesed, love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. In accordance with your great hesed, love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. So God had a particular covenant with his people Israel and brought them out in love and faithfulness to his promised word. And now the appeal is, you're a God of hesed. Keep loving them, O Lord. Keep supplying their need. 2 Samuel 7:15, this is in response to the covenant that God made with David, that in and through David, God would bring his blessing to his people, the Jews, and ultimately to all the world through David's ultimate son, Jesus. 2 Samuel 7:15, but my hesed, my love, will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. And then one last example, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. This is when the people are dedicating the temple to the Lord under Solomon. When Solomon finished praying, the text says, the priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his hesed, his love endures forever. And the way that this is translated in English, you don't see this quite as clearly, but with each verse of this particular psalm, hesed is the last word. Forever his hesed. Forever his hesed. Over and over, this drumbeat of praising God because his love endures forever. This particular loyal, merciful, covenantal love. So we could just leave it there, but I'm going to just highlight briefly four ways that we give thanks to God for his covenant love, his merciful loyalty. Number one, God's steadfast love is seen in creation. And you find that in verses 5 to 9 of our psalm. God's love in creation is comprehensive. It talks about the earth and the water. Everything we can imagine in the planet around us manifests God's love. There's light and darkness, sun and moon. Every element of time, from the past till now, till the future, all elements of time comprehend and are governed by God's unfailing love. Often when we think of creation, we think of the power of God. That's appropriate. Often we think of God's wisdom. How could he design and create a world like this? But this psalm focuses especially on his love. Have you thought about how even the creation of the world is a revelation of the love of God? He didn't have to create us. He was under no obligation. He's not served by human hands as though he needed anything. He gives life and breath to all. The creation of the world and the sunlight and the stars is just the overflowing love of God. Sometimes when we think about stars and moonlight, we think about human love. You know, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore, that's love, all right? Sometimes we think about the ocean or the beach, and we think about human holidays and vacation and family time. But when we think about the moon and the stars and the ocean and the beach, and our minds should run back up to the foundation and fountain of all love, God himself. And when God made the world, he made it all good. So the original creation doesn't yet have this added component of God's merciful love, his love in the face of sinfulness that relents from punishment and judgment. That wasn't there in the beginning. That only comes to light after humanity sinned. And we all sin now, so we depend on God's merciful love. But even apart from that element of mercy, before sin even entered the world, God's love was there. So we see God's steadfast love in creation. We also see God's steadfast love in judgment. Now that is striking. It might sound a little odd, but look again at the text. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 15. We won't read all these again, but verses 17 to 20. Multiple times in this psalm, the psalmist talks about some element of God's judgment on these foreign kings, on the plagues, the people in Egypt. And those verses end, just as every other verse, with the announcement, his hesed, his love, endures forever. So how do we put God's loving loyalty alongside these elements of judgment? Well, remember I said earlier that this particular form of love, this hesed, is often connected to God's covenant with his people. And there's an element of God highlighting and favoring his own people, and necessarily as he does that, he opposes those who stand against his people, who stand against him and his purposes. Now, there's a sense, we could step back and say in the broadest sense, all of us who are created in God's image, all humans have a kind of creature and creator relationship with God. So in that broadest sense, we all experience in general God's love and the bond that we have there. But in light of human sinfulness, we don't deserve any kind of eternal favor from God. We only deserve his judgment. And even this psalm gives clear indicators that God is yet a just judge. So lest we take our position too lightly, lest we think somehow that God owes us and that he will receive us no matter what we do with Jesus Christ, that's not true. And it's actually loving of God that he would be so passionate for his own glory, so committed to his own character as a holy and righteous and good God, not to overlook sin, not to overlook the sins committed against his people, and not to overlook the sin in us. So even through judgment, we see God's love, his hesed, his loyalty. So friends, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, don't be in the position of the kings that are mentioned in this psalm. They were mighty in this world until God overthrew them. But as mighty as they were in this world, they won't be mighty in the next world. And our hope of experiencing that eternal family favor, not just a general love of a creator to a creature, but that unique love of a father and son, that spiritual kinship that we can have with God, that comes in and through Jesus Christ. So receive Christ, grab hold of him, and find that love. And that brings us to the third point tonight. We thank God for his steadfast love in creation. We thank God for the way his steadfast love shines amidst and through the backdrop of judgment. And we see also in this psalm God's steadfast love through redemption. God brings about redemption through judgment. That happens time and time again in the Bible, And that's one of the significant points of the story of the Exodus. So right here in this psalm, it moves from a description of creation in general to the time when the people of Israel, the Israelites, came out of Egypt. And if you remember, there was a series of plagues, a series of judgments that God poured out in Egypt, and yet Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. And finally, in the last plague, God killed the firstborn children in Egypt, and that was it. Pharaoh had enough. He sent the people away. So the people of Israel are redeemed. They were brought out of slavery through the judgment that God exercised. And the reason why the people of Israel didn't have their own firstborn children killed was because God provided a way. It's called Passover. This psalm alludes to it, but there was instructions for them to take the blood of a lamb and put it over the doorpost of their homes. And that night when the destroying angel came through, he would pass over the homes of all that had blood on the door. So here's sacrifice and substitution that leads to redemption. And sure enough, the people are brought out of Egypt. They're brought through the mighty waters. And when the opponents of God, the enemies of God, come through the waters cover over them. So again, redemption for God's people, judgment for his enemies. But why would he redeem Israel? They're his chosen servant. Deuteronomy tells us, I love them because I love them. It wasn't even ultimately owing to some kind of great moral superiority or inherent goodness in Israel. It was God's free and utter kindness. And that's our only hope as well. Because there's a true Lamb of God that has come. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We have in Jesus Christ a great and permanent sacrifice. Not like those sacrifices that were gifts of God that had to be repeated year after year after year. No, Christ has come once and for all. So any mention in Scripture that calls us to remember the Passover, to remember the people's, to remember the way that they were brought out of Egypt, is also a reminder for us that we've experienced a greater Passover, a greater rescue in and through Jesus Christ. So friends, if you know Jesus tonight, thank God for his steadfast love in redeeming us. Praise him for that. Final point for this evening. We can thank God for his steadfast love, which is seen in the new creation. So we've talked about the original creation, God's love on display in the majesty of the world around us. God's love, his hesed, is seen through judgment. It's seen through redemption, but it's also seen through new creation. That's not quite as clear from this psalm, but this psalm takes us on a journey along with Israel. So in verse 11, he brings them out of Egypt. In verses 13 and 14, they pass through the Red Sea. The psalmist is inviting us, travel alongside of Israel, go with them. In verse 16, they go through the desert. But Israel had a destination. So verses 21 and 22 talk about how they received the promised land, their inheritance, this land flowing with milk and honey. And yet the book of Hebrews tells us the Old Testament saints were looking for an even greater city to come. They saw that beautiful temporary land, but they were looking for an enduring city. And Hebrews tells us, we have that. God is the builder and maker of that eternal city, and God will one day bring a new Jerusalem, a new heavens, a new earth, a new creation for all of us to enjoy. So as you think about Thanksgiving this week, praise God for the many ways you've seen his steadfast love. And think about some of the specific blessings of this psalm. We can and should thank God for family and friends, for good health, for financial stability. These are all gifts from God, but this psalm calls us to go beyond those things, to thank God for his love, just because he is a loving God. We praise him for it. To thank God for his love, that he would distinguish and mark out his own people and spare them from just judgment. What a God of love. That he would redeem people from sin and death. And at Thanksgiving, we often tend to think about things we're thankful for from the past or from the present, but we're on a destination and a journey. This life is just a short piece of the eternal story God is telling. So praise God this week that we are marching to Zion, pilgrims and strangers, but we have this great heavenly home, and the steadfast love of God that brought us this far will be the same steadfast love that carries us forever. Let's pray. Oh Lord, what a marvel it is that we can know and begin to taste the abundance, the overflowing grace and love that you would pour out. We thank you for the new covenant in Jesus Christ. We thank you that your love rested on Israel, and how much more it rests on those who are in Christ, who are sons and daughters of the living God. Undeserved favor this is, O Lord. How we thank you for it. Give us an expanding, joyful disposition that would not be quick to complain and criticize, but quick to embrace all and love as you have loved. We thank you, O Lord, that you are a God who has loved us despite our sinfulness. We thank you for a God whose love is so persistent that you would pursue us all of our days with merciful love and kindness. We need that pursuit, O God, for we are weak people. But we thank you that Christ holds us fast. We thank you, O Lord, that your faithfulness is great each day. And forever we'll be singing the songs of your love. So help us to be singing songs of your love this week in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.